Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. Now, listen. The other week, it was brought to my attention by some listeners that I mentioned the tyre General Grabber a few times.
Yes.
And I've been told that this could be a person, possibly a disgraced military man. But also, it made me think about tyre names. You know, ages ago we talked about caravan names, you know, the anal caravan game, which still makes me giggle because...
Yes,
I know that
this
spring and summer we're going to see an awful lot more of those on the road, and that game can commence again. But the tyre, I think that there's something in the tyre game here, Rich. There's something in it. Now, General Grabber obviously needs to keep his hands to himself. But I want to know if there's any other interesting tyre names out there that could be people.
I'm searching now for my brain for... And I can't think.
Some of them sound like... I didn't have time to... Because I only thought about this about 10 minutes before we started to record because this is Smith & Sniff, where we don't do any prep. But there's tyres there's tyres that always just sound like kind of cabaret singers on cruise ships. That, like, for example, there's the Debica Paseo HP. And you just go, what? What's that?
Paseo.
I think it's the Debica Paseo.
Debica. Who are these people?
Well, this is a tyre company called Debica or Debica.
Debica. Debica sounds like a Mitsubishi, and then Paseo was a Toyota.
It was. Yeah.
So they're just thieving names.
They do. They do one called a Furio as well. they do one called Furio.
Furio sounds like a henchman of Italian descent who hangs around with a Cockney gangster in a Guy Ritchie movie. Not now, Furio.
Yeah, it's exactly that. He's got a very thin necklace.
Personally, I'd be willing to let it go, Mr. Johnson. But Furio here, he's very disappointed in you.
Furio doesn't like your shoes. So that's why Furio's going to break your face now. And then your arms also.
Perhaps you should have a word with my friend Furio. Lovely lad. Very kind to his mother.
Oh, there's some tyres called Dynamos and tyres called Event.
What?
There's an event tyre. Oh, wow. You can get the Event Potentum. Potentum.
And then you can get
the Event Futurum HP or GP. Futurum. The Event Futurum.
Where are you finding these tyres?
I can't tell you my sources.
Okay.
It's blackcircles.com.
I'm guessing these are at the budget end of the tyre spectrum, right?
I think so, yeah. The Event Limus are 4x4 tyres that come in a variety of rim. Wow, what have we got here? So, yeah, we've got Infiniti. Well, so they're just copying car names. You've got the Infiniti Ecosys. The Infiniti Ecosys. This is
some kind
great.
Of infection that needs really punchy antibiotics to get rid of.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a club on a holiday resort, isn't it? Oh, are you going to the Infiniti Ecosys? Yeah. I am. Actually, I am actually. Got a load of Billy from there last month and I'm going to go there again with Pez and Dan. Yeah. There's loads. I'd like this game to kick off because our listeners are such good listeners. They are so interactive. Thank you, everybody, who listens.
Well, and, on that note, first of all, I need to say a belated thank you to a listener and patron called James Lomas, who, courtesy of his friends at Nielsen Chemicals, sent me a con bomb In fact, sent me a whole tray of con bombs.
A tray of con bombs?
Yeah, this box turned up and there's like 12 in there or maybe 15, I don't know. What I'm going to do is I'll keep some for you and I will bring them to the next live show and give them away because I released one in my Range Rover and it worked a treat. It was lovely.
Oh, that's
now
awesome.
Now smells nice. And when I met up the other day with Chris Monkey Harris out of collecting cars and Top Gear and stuff, and he did a little vid with me about my Range Rover, which he put on the socials to plug my Range Rover being for sale there. I'm in a weird situation here because as we record, my Range Rover is still on, the auction is still running on collecting cars. By the time this podcast goes out to the wider world on a Monday morning, the auction will have ended. It ends Sunday evening.
So it ends on Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, yeah, because my wife went, oh, is that wise? Won't people be away? And I was like, yes, maybe. But on the plus side, it's a bank holiday the next day, so people might have been drinking. And drinking might be good for a random bid on a supercharged Range Rover. So as you listen to this, you can go to Collecting Cars and you'll be able to look up how much my car went for. And you can either laugh hysterically because someone bought it for $6,000, or you can go, fair enough. Yeah, good money. I'm hoping for the second one, but I don't know because we're recording this before the auction ends.
I have to say I did chuckle when you sent me that little video of you and Monkey driving up some like cul-de-sac.
Oh, the collapsed disco.
And you showed me that video of the worst condition disco. Is it a three? Disco three?
It's a three, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it looked crooked.
Well, it had incredibly collapsed. I mean, the suspension had gone absolutely, but not an even collapse. It had really sat down on one back corner and the rest was sort of following along.
So
much paper in it, like paper all over the dashboard.
Paper?
And I don't, yeah, like it looked like someone just opened all their post from the last 2 years and they just left it on the dash. And I don't know why. And the front grille was missing and it was just, yeah, it was a remarkable sight.
Do you know the sort of crooked sit down, the crooked crouch as it was?
The squat.
It looked like really cruel circus ringleaders that make a sea lion or a bear.
Yes.
Beg. They make them get down and beg and put one paw up or one leg up for the crowd. And you know they've done it 100,000 times and they're so close to just like killing their owner because they hate them.
Yeah.
There was that feeling about that.
Turn on them.
It was I'm gonna do you. The next time you ask me to put my paw up and you whip me in front of the crowd, I'm gonna do you.
I don't think this disco had the energy left in it to get up and kill its owners. Although I think if you tried to drive it, it would probably kill you because it looked in very poor condition. But yeah, Chris and I drove around a bit, just chatted some nonsense, some of it on camera, some of it just cause. But we got into, the first time he got into my Range Rover, he went, smells expensive in here. And I thought, that'll be the con bomb.
That's the con bomb. Amazing. I wish you'd done a tutorial of your Range Rover con bomb. You need to do another car and can you video it and we can put it on
our Instagram? I'm thinking
of
doing the Panda actually, because I've got con bombs to spare now. I was thinking of doing the Panda just for shits and giggles. In fact, I probably will.
Can you? And then video it. We'll put it on Smith & Sniff's Instagram. I think that's a great idea. Con bomb tutorial.
Yeah. So anyway, James, thank you ever so much for the box of con bombs. That was much appreciated. We will, as I said, we've got so many to spare. I'll bring them to the next live show, whenever that'll be, and give them away.
Is your Range Rover cruising around on Mazzini Giant Saver 4x4 tyres?
No.
Because they're a real tyre. They're a real tyre.
It's too late now for me to do the sales pitch because the auction is over by the time this goes out.
Yeah,
but it's actually on OEM spec Pirelli Scorpions, sir.
Okay, so no Mazzini Giant Savers.
No, I've looked to the Mazzinis. They're very well rated in the categories of skidding into a ditch.
They might be really good. We're jesting because the names are awful. Some budget tyres are incredibly good. I've tested them numerous.
Really?
Yeah, some are really good. But yeah, sorry, I'm now really going down this hole of sort of no-name tyres. I'm in the Dynamo, the Dynamo Hisend H. Hisend.
Hisend.
Hisend, not as in like It's H-I... Oh, hang on. I've just gone off the... The Dynamo, it's spelt H-I-S-C-E-N-D. As in ascending?
High-send. Right. I thought it was going to be like H-I hyphen send. Like, you know how...
Drift people, guys send
it. They go full send. Send it and all of that. And I thought the high send... As in,
I think
it's actually a low grip tire, but they've expressed it in a strange way.
The high send. That's great. Yeah, you're definitely going to get out of shape on this one. And that's why we're selling it to you, because we know you love it. Honestly, there's some of these names.
Sorry, I wanted to go back to the listeners, our listeners being brilliant and knowing everything, because they really do. They know how to get hold of a box of condoms and send it to me. They know about
trains. That
sounded
like condoms just then.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Sorry. we don't need a box of condoms, so don't. Everyone stand down on that one. But I'm not going to say this listener's name, but you know, a couple of weeks ago, I told a staggeringly dull story about being on a train that stopped too early in Didcot Station.
Yes.
One of our listeners figured out which train I must have been on. And was able, I don't know exactly where they work in the railway industry, but they clearly have access to train logs of some sort. And they were able to tell me, that they correctly identified the train and said that the cause of the, if you remember, I said there was a panicked member of the crew was striding down the train going, I'm looking for the train manager. The reason for this was, our listener says, driver error. The train was functioning fine, but the driver stopped the train in the wrong place and unlocked all the doors, despite there being no platform for some of the passengers in the rear coaches.
Oh, sugar.
They almost immediately relocked the doors and no harm was done, but they had to check all was well before continuing.
Oh, so, gosh.
Yeah, thank you, anonymous listener. So I swear there is nothing our listeners don't know, including... the reason why I was briefly delayed on a train back from London a couple of weeks ago. So thank you, anonymous listener, because that was really interesting. I also, I think I lost this one again now. What am I doing here? I had it because, you know, we went through a patch of reading out the coach driver memories of school
yes.
coaches. We had so many of these. I almost feel like you just compile them into a small book because they're so good. But one, I wanted to read out one. I've been meaning to read it out for the past 2 or 3 weeks from a listener called Richard Hill, who says, I've remembered an incident that happened on my school coach in the early 90s.
Oh,
great. We just left Pershaw on the way to school in Worcester, probably in a Jock Here Elise coach or a Bova Futura with the bulge front. Wow. Posh school coach.
A Boge Futura, did he to say?
Bova Futura. I know what he means, the bulge front. You know those ones where they've got a sort of, there's a rude word for this that I'm not going to use, but they're flat and there's headlights down there, I think, in the number plate, and then there's a big bulge comes out above it. You'd know them if you saw them.
Is the word that you're looking for?
No, don't.
No.
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
I love the fact you're like, no. No, no, Johnny.
It's amazing, but we do have some standards. So Richard says, as we went around a corner, the emergency exit buzzer sounded and the kids at the back started screaming. A small girl, probably 8 or so, had fallen out of the emergency exit.
What?
The door had not been properly latched. The coach driver swore and did an emergency stop, jumped out and ran back down the road. Luckily, the girl was okay. She'd rolled up like a hedgehog and bounced down the road a bit. Went to A&E and was given the all clear.
My goodness me.
I remember... Now, suddenly this story takes a swerve and a magnificent one. So the girl's okay, she's given the all clear. Richard ends by saying, I remember that the girl's father owned the local TVR and Lancia garage. He bought and drove one of the press car Lancia Thema 832s, as featured in Car Magazine, registration E33 FAP.
Oh, my gosh. The detail.
What an incredible add-on to this story. The daughter of a man who drove a Lancia Thema 832 fell out of the emergency exit of a moving coach. near Pershore.
The Bova as well. It's the Bova
Futura, possibly. Well, Richard's not clear. He's also Jonkheer Elise. I'm not familiar with who that is or what that is. But anyway,
well,
the 90s coach.
Wow, I'm just thinking about rolling up into a shape, like a hedgehog shape, and bouncing down the road and being okay. I mean, this is quite a serious thing.
It's really serious.
Losing children on a coach on a corner.
Really bad form, I would say. But you could see how it would happen.
Our people are good people. You know that. And we must say a thank you to the... I'm going to say it's got to be over 100 people now who have left... who have left a comment on the on whatever platform you get your podcast on, a 5-star rating together with two words. One is eagle, one is quest, and it's now got a little out of hand.
A little.
It's almost code now, you know, sort of like a password to get into a seedy nightclub. And I really appreciate that you've done this. And thanks for rating our podcast, because that does mean a lot for the Alan and the Gorithms.
Yes.
So that's really, really, it's really kind of you. But yeah, the Eagle Quest, we haven't bought it. We still haven't bought it. There have been messages to and fro. I've tried to haggle the guy. And unfortunately, there was a little bit of a, I know what I've got and I'm in no rush.
Well, yeah, he knows what he's got, but at the same time, he doesn't, because what he's got is essentially an unsaleable car, I would say. The only people in Britain who want that car are you and me.
Yes.
And we've tried, but he's saying no offers.
It's proven that we're the only people that want it, because I think it's been relisted 4 times at the same price. and I know this because I've been following it closely.
Is it part of your daily routine to just have a little check-in on the Eagle Quest on eBay?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm gonna do it live on air. I'm going to do it live on air now. Here we go. Open up the eBay app.
What did you sent me? My eBay. I can't find it now. You sent me the grab of your chat with him, and he was pretty dug in about it.
Yeah, here it is. It's still for sale, £2,295. Do you want me to regale the exact owner chat? Or I mean, it's not massively.
No, I mean, he's not being rude. He's just,
no, he's not. He's not being rude.
He is fully. I know what I've got. He's not short of saying find another, but he might as well.
Hi, Johnny. I'll be honest. I'm in no rush to sell, and I have just relisted it. I won't sell it much cheaper, as it's a cool piece of kit and is worth the asking price, I feel. There's a bit of wriggle room for cash, but not much lower. Thank you. So there we go. But he never answered my question where I said, you've put in the description it was once owned by a famous rock band, and I want to know who they are. I really need to know who the famous rock band is.
Well, because if it turns out it was Nickelback, then the deal's off. I don't want the car. It's been tainted by awfulness. But, you know, it could be like something quite amusing, like Status
Imagine
Quo.
Imagine if it was Marillion. Imagine if it was Marillion.
Oh, my God. What if, yes.
Just imagine. We'd have to pull the trigger on it, Rich. We'd have to.
Oh, my God.
We owe it to the people.
Yeah, and then have the outside of it done with incredibly elaborate fairground art airbrushing.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
With, like, Marillion's name and Bruce Dickinson's face and some other sorts of...
Well, it'd be Paisley. It's usually Paisley and then Fender guitars.
Yeah.
And then kind of what they call Mercury Men, which are like the faces on the back of the waltzer carriages that are sort of stretched with billowing silk shirts on, basically.
There's a part of you that just goes, screw it, let's just buy the bloody Eagle Quest. It's almost like it is an itch that needs to be scratched, and it will not go away until it's been dealt with, unless...
Yeah,
I mean, imagine if somebody else just buys it this week. I think
I'm going to be really
crushed.
I'll be really pissed off because I've done that before. I've played the long hunting game and it hasn't paid off.
Yes.
And you play it over in your mind and you think, I should have done this differently. I should have just pounced, and I didn't.
I got some things on my mind as well, some other itches to scratch, and I'm just sort of wondering. Again, this is a delicious irony for the listener. You'll be able to know what position I'm in with the money that I've got for my old Range Rover. because if it goes for good money, I think it's a bit easier for me to then explain to my wife that I'm going to take some of that money and turn it into another car.
What, like a stretch limousine from the early 90s?
Yeah. Oh my God, can you imagine if I parked it outside and it was just like right outside our house, like the full width of that.
Imagine if you did that and then she went, have you seen that car outside? And you went, no.
No.
What?
She'd know. She'd know.
Of course she'd know.
Straight away. She'd smell it. If she didn't think it was mine, she'd think it was yours. I wouldn't be surprised if she came in the front door and went, is Johnny here? And I'd go, no, he's not, but I have good news. Marillion stretch limo is right outside. Let's go for a drive. Get it beached on a speed bump.
It's always a humpback bridge that I always fear with limousines. You get
there
the
is there's a
scrape.
Sort of there's a driveway near us, like that goes into a place where we take the kids, and it's as many places in Bath/Bath. It's very hilly. It has a right old hump on it. Not a speed hump, it's just the way that the you turn off the main road and then it goes immediately downhill.
Oh, is it like American driveway syndrome?
Not quite. It's not super steep. Like it's the downhill that's super steep because it just has to, the road has to then go downhill quite quickly, if you follow me. And it's, I've never seen a car beach there, but I would almost guarantee that an Eagle Quest would be banging its pan before you could say Marillion.
Or it might fling open one of the six doors. The rigidity would just give up that ghost.
Well,
and
that's
go,
it.
No,
and then
I'm
the whole thing just
it.
Bananas.
Yeah, it just go, no.
And it's never quite right again.
I'm not having that. It's actually a four-door. I've just lied. I thought it was a six-door. I'm just checking the pictures. That it's still up on my phone. But yes, it's a four-door.
It's never really occurred to me to check. I'm going to have a look at the Eagle Quest.
I'm going to message him now and ask him who the rock band was. I'm sorry, I've just decided.
Go on, do it. If you get an answer back in real time, that'd be even better. But where is the Eagle Quest located?
I think it's in Suffolk near Ipswich.
Okay.
So my side of the country. Yeah.
We do need to do something about this, don't we? Everyone will get very bored of us just going.
Well, if your Range Rover sells for not shit money, and we've had Easter to think it over, and let's assume nobody over Easter's got drunk and bought it, should we do it?
Well, I'm just looking at it now. It doesn't say. Why does it not say where the? Didn't they used to always say where the thing was? Oh yeah, Ipswich.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that far from you, relatively speaking, is it?
Hour and a half.
So, that's it. That's your mission for Easter weekend. A few glasses of a hearty red, buy the Eagle Quest, and then... But do you know anyone who can do airbrushing? You must.
Yes.
I
know a guy. Okay, I kid you not. I know a guy who still paints galloping horses and traditional waltzers. He's old, so he's old school trained, and he does the sort of scroll work and the mad gold leaf. And I've known him of him for about 10 years, and I keep thinking about just buying a car and sending it to him and go, can you just do any funfair stuff that you feel is right on this car?
Christ's hat! I've just noticed the bonnet mascot.
Yes, Richard.
I hadn't spotted this before. It's got a friggin' eagle silver bonnet mascot.
Yes, Richard. Yes, it bloody does.
Oh, my God.
Because it's an Eagle Quest.
Right, well, I think that's more than enough Eagle Quest chat. Because last week, we sort of reviewed a couple of cars. And some people seemed to like this. Some people didn't. Some people said there's too much car chat, and we had a couple of people moaning about us talking about EVs. So let me talk this week about a car that has a petrol engine, although it's also a plug-in hybrid. I keep wanting to call it a Citroen. It's not. It's a DS4.
Okay.
Which someone who does PR for DS offered to me because we were talking about ChatGPT. And how it's being installed in Volkswagens, but not till later this year because it's not ready yet or something. Very enterprising PR from DS went, well, Volkswagen not ready. We are. You can have it in the DS4 right now. We'll send one over. And so they sent me a DS4, And I had a little go with the ChatGPT. So I was driving along, and I thought, I suddenly don't know what to ask it. So I was like, I said,
it's because you're too busy concentrating on driving, presumably.
Yes, but you know, I could see the utility of it in. So I was driving along, and I genuinely wanted to know if it was going to carry on raining all day. And you say, "Okay, Iris," to is the trigger phrase, which I could see would be problematic. For example, a mate of mine and his wife, Iris, if they had one of these cars, because it would keep going off. In the same way that one of my
old neighbours... A friend of mine's daughter's called Iris, and she's a little... Yeah. She's a right little tearaway. If she found out about that, oh my word.
Oh, God, yeah. One of my old neighbours, he was going to buy a Skoda, and then he found out that the voice assistant in that is called Laura, which is the name of his wife, and he was like, I just think that might become annoying. So he didn't bother. Genuinely just went, this feels like it's going to be annoying to me. Anyway, so I was driving along, and I said to the thing, okay, Iris, is it going to rain for the rest of the day? And there's a pause, and then it went, no.
And then there was another really long
pause before it went, the weather forecast for the rest of the day is, and read it out. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But the fact that it just went, no.
I like that. So no faff.
I was like,
no.
Oh God, it's really literal.
So they just kept it nice and short. And see, whenever
it filled it with the weather. Okay, I can see the utility in that. That's okay. But then I was like, what else can I ask it? And just as I was thinking about this, I drove past a badger that had been run over, and it was in the side of the road on this A road. So out of curiosity, I said, okay, Iris, what's the badger population of the UK? And it had a think, and then it went, I'm sorry, I don't have real-time data on badger numbers in the UK. So I don't want real-time data. Not expecting you to tell me there's just been another six badgers born. So it was, and then after that, you can throw it sort of fairly simple questions. It's reasonably snappy to respond to general questions. Like, you know, I was going, okay, what's the capital of Peru? And it can do that. And I suspect, you know, that might come in useful. You're driving along, your kids ask you a question, you don't know the answer.
It has a slight use,
although, of course, you know, your phone can probably do that anyway. But when you try and voice activate the temperature or something like that, because it has CarPlay, it has wireless CarPlay, which is good. So I've got the CarPlay going so I can listen to podcasts and music and all that malarkey and use Google Maps.
Phew.
But that takes over the screen. To adjust the temperature with your fingers, you need to push a hard button, which brings up the, you know, the climate control menu, and then touch the screen to increase the temperature. It's a bit of a faff and slightly annoying. So I thought, okay, you can do it by voice. If you do that, and you go, so you still use the same thing, and you go, okay, Iris, temperature 20 degrees. While it's having a think, it's dipped the volume of what you're listening to massively, so you can hardly hear it. And it takes seconds to get its act together. So essentially, it's really irritating and useless. And that's not the ChatGPT part of it. That seems to work reasonably well. But voice controlling cars for basic functions is still, in my experience, dog shit.
And also, just simply, I'd rather the R&D spend on the manufacturer going to something much, much more useful that we use on a daily basis, just get it right.
Yes.
Just make sure that, you know, if it's a Ford, you don't have a rubber belt running through the oil sump of the car, because that's a shit idea. Or if it's a BMW, like all the ancillaries are made of brittle plastic, so that at 80,000 miles, it's all going to grenade. That's a shit idea. Don't give me like voice activated, like, oh, I'll put your heating up if you want. No, it's okay, because I'm not a full amputee. So therefore, I can just move my hand and I can move it up to 20 degrees because I'm a driver and I can do that. I think
that's the thing, but it's like, give me a way to access things I might want to do on a reasonably regular basis whilst controlling a moving car. Make sure those are always in view and always accessible. If you have to put them on a touchscreen, that's one thing. But just make them accessible so that I don't have to go to a different menu and then do what I want to do. That's infuriating. And DS/Citroen/Stellantis are not the only offenders here, but I was reminded that this DS4 is a culprit in the war on trying to make things difficult.
I'm in a Stellantis product right now, and yeah, I've had a couple of Peugeots, SWs, aka the estates, plug-in hybrids, and I absolutely love them. But the great thing is there's enough physical buttons versus touchscreen. And I'm in a 508 this week, which is such a good-looking car. And I was in a 308 just a couple of days ago, which, again, is a really good-looking car. In fact, I kept putting it into corners 10 miles an hour quicker than I normally would to see if it would do it. And it's really a really good chassis on that bad boy. But I know I don't want to talk too much about cars on this car podcast because I know we'll get complaints. But
we didn't get to be Britain's number one car podcast by talking about cars.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, talking of Chat GPT, every time I hear that, my brain deletes the T and I just think, oh, it's a Chat Grand Prix. How would a Chat Grand Prix go? What are the rules? Who could win? And I always think to myself, I know who could win. Non-stop talking John.
Ooh.
The auto electrician. Imagine if he
the Max Verstappen of Chat GPT.
He would be a chatty Grand Prix man. Absolutely.
I don't know. I'd like to see him going head to head around the Monaco chat circuit against my daughter, who is, I believe, the Lewis Hamilton of chat.
Is she? She's just non-stop talking.
Consistent multiple champion. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes she will just wake up in the morning and start chatting, and then at night you go, good night, sleep well, and the chat stops. But between those two points, there's constantly.
I was in a car that you're fond of last week, and I had to do a very long journey in it. I was in a Range Rover, current full-size Range Rover, plug-in hybrid, and I was really keen to know what it really was like on a long journey in terms of economy and comfort and stuff like that. Going back to the touchscreen thing, it took me an enormous amount of time to work out how to heat my seat and move it a little bit. Admittedly, I got into it in the dark, but even so.
But there's seat controls on the touchscreen now.
No, the seat controls are on the door, Richard, but at night, all I saw was the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. I couldn't actually see the nodule, so I was just fingering the side of the seat, the side bolsters. I was fingering for minutes, and then realised, it's not here. It's just not here, is it? Where is it? Then I went into the screen where the heated seat is, where you could move, tell it to massage your back and all that stuff. It's got a hell of a comfortable headrest, I must say. Real pillowy one. But I was like, this isn't right. So when I actually got out for a nature wee, I noticed, because the door had like a downlight type thing, I noticed that the button on the side of the door. So that was my fault. But the other things, the menus to go into the other stuff is just quite boring. And to move from the radio to Bluetooth music to listen, I wanted to listen to a podcast. It took me an entire 3-hour journey there to work out where that function was. All I could see was DAB radio and nothing else. It's like, well, this is so stupid. But But in amongst pulling over for a one, honestly, an absolutely blissful piss vista in Powys, not far from where that touring car replica was outside that lonely pub, actually.
Ah,
same road, yeah. A458. Okay. I'd highly recommend it to anybody. I thought I've fully charged the battery, and I've been driving it quite carefully. What's the economy of this? 48 to the gallon I got on that journey.
What?
175 miles door to door, 48 to the gallon. I've got it. I photographed it because I didn't think people would actually believe me.
Okay, that's quite impressive.
Now, that's a full-size Range Rover. Yes, I'm on my own. I had a boot full of stuff, but I was on my own. And I wasn't driving slow, but I wasn't hustling. It was just regular speed limit stuff. And I thought to myself, that is really good. That's really good.
Well, that is around what I think I was getting from that DS4.
Wow,
I charged the battery on that.
Yeah.
Did a big round trip in it. I can't remember, probably to the 150 odd miles or maybe a little bit more. Yeah, and I think that was showing about 48, and that's a much smaller car with a much smaller petrol engine.
Yeah. But it just goes to show, if you charge that little hybrid battery and you set the nav so it knows exactly where you're going, it knows the geography of the journey and all that stuff, it will go, right, I'm going to save some of the battery for that bit. You're going to use all the battery going into that village. We're going to use loads of regen there. And it just helps you along. And I could not believe the economy. I was really impressed.
No, so, fair play.
So there. I enjoy driving my Honda Insight on those same curves more because it was just a better handling car. But anyway, no one who buys a Range Rover has ever looked at an Insight.
No, well, I remember when that latest Range Rover came out, and I was talking to a Land Rover dealer of my acquaintance who I said, they've sort of messed up here, haven't they? Because the electric one, like the full electric one, is not ready. So they've had to announce petrol ones, and then the plug-in one will come, like the plug-in hybrid, and then the full electric. And he went, what you have to understand is that most Range Rover customers don't give a shit.
Hmm.
They're not that interested. I mean, obviously he sells them, so he knows. But I was surprised because I thought, just because you're presumably quite minted doesn't mean that you want to just throw money away at a petrol station.
No, because, I agree.
Because, you know, you don't get rich by writing a lot of checks. So, you know, if you can save, and also apart from anything else, if it's that economical, it's just fewer times that you have to go and fill up. And filling up is incredibly boring. So for that alone, I think it's got to be a boon. I mean, I know you're not a massive Range Rover fan, and I am, and I do think that latest Range Rover is a decent thing. But I think for the latest model year, they've moved all the temperature controls onto the touchscreen, where previously they had separate controls. And you just go,
it's a bad idea.
Did you have to?
No, we're going to see a revolt, Rich. We're going to see an absolute U-turn on this stuff, I swear. And I know that I'm getting a bit consumery now, but we are.
Mm.
Because it doesn't work. Nobody thinks it's a better idea. Nobody. Speak to anybody.
Well, now, this brings me, actually, because I was complaining last week about the touchscreen controls in the ID Buzz, and a listener called Robin got in touch and said, the discussion about the ID Buzz and general VW touchscreens got me riled up. I work on optimising mobile games, the likes of Candy Crush and such that you might play on the bog, but not Candy Crush specifically. Since around 2011, when the price of games hit rock bottom, i.e. free, and therefore the price of switching and trying a new game became virtually nothing, we've had to get pretty good at interface design and quick tutorials. As a rule of thumb, we work on the assumption that we have 15 to 30 seconds to grab a player's attention, have them understand the game, set the goals for them, have them achieve something to get a dopamine hit, and set up reminders to get them to come back.
Bloody hell.
We design, redesign, and A-B test these first-time user experience funnels. And that's, he's bolded. FTUE, first-time user experience funnels relentlessly to get as many people through it as possible and into our games. Our business depends on getting 1 million people to watch a couple of ads each and perhaps 3% of players to make a purchase for an add-on. So, if a player doesn't immediately know what to tap, we failed. If they have to look for a button, we failed. If the screen lags for even 500 milliseconds, we failed. If they have to think about how to do something, we failed. If they have to think about what to do next, we failed. You get the idea. My experience is more limited than yours, but I've yet to see or interact with an infotainment system in a vehicle that I haven't immediately seen something wrong with and or become immediately exasperated with. To a game designer's eye, they are on the whole incredibly amateurish. Undergrad level mistakes like mixing skeuomorphic and abstracted visual design elements, unacceptable response times, incorrectly sized buttons and touch response areas for the function, and poorly structured menus. I recall working with a German mobile games company a few years ago. The game wasn't quite breaking even, so they remorselessly fired the producer. He quickly got a job at Volkswagen working on the infotainment systems.
You're joking.
This makes a lot of sense to me.
Do you know what? This letter's incredible. What was the chap's name again? Sorry?
Robin.
Robin, thank you so much for sending this in, because actually this makes so much sense. You are tasked with drawing in somebody and holding them there for a few seconds. So why isn't your skill set being put to use on a car which gets designed and engineered over several years before coming to production? And then the car's presumably alive for at least a decade, you like to think.
Mm.
We need your skills, man. The car world needs your skills.
I wrote back to Robin and I checked that it was okay for us to read that out. But also I said, why don't VW and all the other car companies simply hire people like him? And he said, I don't think VW would let me fully work remote or hire British university dropouts who got into the industry by being a bit obsessive. So fair enough, but their loss.
But being obsessive is good. Isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, you could tell Robin's passion for this from his original email. You kind of go, well, if you could translate that into making car screens work properly, then that would be fantastic. But no. So, come on, car company. I think it sounds like Robin's quite happy in the games world, but I'm sure there's some game designers who would quite happily go and work for a car company if they could really get their teeth into making touch screens a bit less shite.
This leads me on, really. I forgot to say that I actually took the Range Rover off-road as well, because that's what Range Rovers are for, apparently. I was going over to Snowdonia because I did a first shakedown of Project Cant.
Oh, yes.
And Project Cant is the Kia Picanto trials car that, by the time you listen to this, listeners, I will have hopefully finished the 100th running Land's End trial in a brand new Kia Picanto 1 litre. It's never been done in a brand new car, and I think it's still the world's cheapest motorsport. And Kia kindly let me have a pre-production car that was going to get ruined anyway, and let me ruin it on a trial. So, we've armoured it, and we've raised it, and we've done some key mods to it. You're not allowed to run four-wheel drive cars. You're not allowed to run all-terrain tyres, which is such a challenge. And we took it for a shakedown, and the Range Rover was our tracking support vehicle when we were filming our little first shakedown. It was so much fun. And we got all the way to the top of this massively rutted, like dry stream bed type of thing. Mm. We were celebrating because we were on 10-year-old second-hand van tyres.
What?
No, because we didn't have any other proper tyres lying around. So we thought, well, we'll try these van tyres, because van tyres are quite good. They've got chunky grips. They've got very strong sidewalls.
Mm.
So we put on some van tyres and it did all right. And these two guys with... One was a Discovery that was on almost tractor tyres with a winch on the front. And one was in an L200 Animal. They both let us pass them. And they went, are you going up there? And we went, yeah. And they went, is that a four-wheel drive? And we went, no, it's two-wheel drive. And they just looked at me. And one of them just giggled and he went, let us know if you need a tow. The irony is we got all the way to the top. We were so giddy with excitement that this car had smashed and bumped its way to the top, that on the way down, we were just laughing and not paying full attention. We got stuck on the way down. How do you get stuck on the way down a hill? And we tried to dig it out with rocks, but with actual, like, caveman rocks. And in the end, we had to do the walk of shame, because there was no phone reception, a half-hour walk of shame down to find the two lovely vapey guys in their L200 Animal, and went, all right, guys, we got to the top, but it was a dead end, so we had to come back, and we've got stuck on the way back. And they winched us out. But we got stuck on the way back, so we were kind of happy, but also Yeah, I was in the wrong footwear, should we say, for like doing the walk back. You know when you see like, I'm going to say it, you know when you see like chavs going on a hike and they haven't really thought it through?
Oh, man. Like when I did the Three Peaks Challenge with some mates, I didn't do the going up the hills thing. I was the wheel man. I borrowed a Land Cruiser. And the weird thing about doing that Three Peaks Challenge, for people who don't know, is you climb the three highest peaks in England, Scotland and Wales. So you start, generally start at Ben Nevis and work your way down. And you see other people doing it, you know, because you're all sort of, it's a regular thing in the summer months. And there were this group of lads, and one of them who were doing it, one of them was wearing jeans and trainers, and you're like, mate, I think you need to step up your kit game a little bit. And then we got to Snowdon, the last mountain, and we didn't see them. We think they may have flaked out a little bit you're doing it through the night and it's absolutely pissing cold and can be wet, and because, you know, it's Scotland and the Lake District and Snowdonia, and you don't want to be he probably collapsed under the weight of wet denim.
Imagine if he was wearing 90s spliffy jeans that are about three times the width. I mean, honestly, honestly, they'd be so heavy when they were wet. No belt would be able to keep those up. No belt. He'd have to just walk with them over his shoulder in his pants.
Well, it's all back, isn't it? The hyper baggy jean is back, baby. And so, yeah, if you...
Oh, yeah. You're
staying abreast of current fashions, but also trying to do the Three Peaks Challenge in jeans like an idiot, you will probably just find yourself suddenly unable to move at the top of Scarfell Pike, and then you're in trouble. I wanted to read out a message from a listener and a patron called Adam, just because it tickled me. It's a ref back to ages ago. I've had a few of these recently. People who've either just cottoned onto this podcast and have been listening from the start to try and get a grip on what's going on.
If you don't know what's going on,
join our Patreon, and there's a Smith and Sniff encyclopedia on there which tries to explain some of our in-jokes and references and things. So
yes.
Hopefully that's a sort of quick guide to what the bloody hell's going on. But this listener, Adam, said, I'm currently re-listening to your podcast. I've just listened to episode 28, and now all I can think about is Robert Plant and his ill-fated competitor to Bonham's Auctions. Robert's Plant Sales. Brackets, he doesn't know where the plural is or where the apostrophe goes. And Adam has brilliantly put an apostrophe in all three of those words, so it's Robert's Plant Sales.
Was that Robert's heavy plant as well?
I mean, this was a long time ago now, but yeah. I do remember that we surmised that Bonham's Auctions was started by John Bonham out of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And that Robert Plant had set up a rival company in a fit of pique.
Of course, and John being a bit of a thirsty man, I think a couple of bottles in, he just starts selling whatever he fancied, selling friends' stuff that they didn't even ask to be sold. Yes.
Well, this is brilliantly where Adam's going with this, because it has clearly been playing on his mind. So he says, basically, Robert bought an old warehouse in Grimsby for some reason and set up Robert's Plant Sales, but he didn't advertise it well or provide any information on the signage. Even so, that in his first event, plant hire companies and builders turned up, as well as gardening enthusiasts. This resulted in the 1906 All Days and Onions motorcar he was auctioning off to sell for £342.12 to Dave, who's a ground worker, even though it was worth £15,000. So, I like the amount of detail that Adam has put into this, in his imaginary Robert's Plant Sales confusing signage business.
You've just reminded me about the All Days and Onions thing. On Instagram, I added it to the Smith and Sniff stories about an old chap in the States who's a farmer. And every day he checks his onions. He mostly is an onion farmer, from what I can gather. Every day in the afternoon, he lies down and has an afternoon sleep wherever he is in the onion field. So,
oh, there's a I photo- did see this. Yes,
there's just an open field photograph of just an old man lying down who to any normal passerby would look dead. like he'd keeled over and had a massive heart attack and just passed away. I couldn't stop laughing.
My question there is, he must stink of onions.
Well, also, do you not think he'd get a bit cold or a bit soily? Because he is just lying in soil.
Yes.
Or are we overthinking this?
Maybe, but it's a good question.
But he's in the onion.
Soily and smelly.
He's in the onions all day. So if that man doesn't have an All Days and Onions car, then this world is not worth living in. I'm going to say that. I'd love an All Days. This is the year we should do the London to Brian, by the way, Rich. I've thought about this. We've got till November.
Well, or just gatecrash it in the Eagle Quest.
Oh, yes, we should. And they go, that's clearly not a veteran car, is it? Oh, I don't know about that, boys.
Yes, it is. Now, fuck off.
You can sit in the back like a disgraced town mayor and just throw cans of cider at people.
Years ago, a friend of mine went to watch the cricket at... it's Old Trafford, isn't it, in Manchester, the cricket ground?
Yes.
And it gets a bit rowdy at the cricket sometimes, apparently, or it certainly did. And he was sitting by this group of lads, and they all cracked out like packed lunches while they were watching the match. And one of them went to open, he had a little pot of yoghurt, and they'd been drinking quite a lot and being a general nuisance. And he went to open a pot of yoghurt, and it just, as he opened it, it just exploded everywhere, mostly down the side of the man in front's face.
Oh, no.
And this, who was already quite indignant about the boozy noise these guys had been making. And this bloke just went to turn his head to look at the culprit. And this guy, big mank lad, just jabbed his finger into this bloke's yoghurty cheek and just went, "Don't say a fucking word."
Really?
And the bloke just turned his head back again and just kept watching the cricket with yoghurt running off his face.
What?
So if you do the London to Brian in the Eagle Quest, when they come over and go, "No, I'm sorry, this is simply not a vintage car," just put your finger into their cheek and go, "Don't say a fucking word," and then drive off.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be my advice. I want to say a thank you just to a listener called Benedict Newman, who has just sent us a picture of an enormous turbo.
Oh, really?
Like, I mean, seriously, a turbo that I would estimate to be at least a metre across.
oh, gosh.
He said, okay. "I dropped an engineer onto a ship a couple of days ago to remove a faulty turbo. Below is a photo of it once transferred to my boat." That would be some mega tune to a sweet, sweet prelude. They would handle it no problem. He says the turbo weighs approximately a tonne. And it's not even the biggest one. This is a medium-sized one. Apparently, the biggest turbos in maritime engineering are 3 tons.
What?
I'll put that on the Patreon.
Do you say a 3-ton maritime turbo?
3-ton maritime turbo. It's incredible, isn't it?
I tell you what, I'm going to get myself like a 3-ton maritime turbo. Think about it, yeah? That's like double the weight of the car. But that means when you put it on and the boost comes in, like maybe I'm doing calculations off my cuff, that's like 7 times more powerful than what it originally was, yeah? Which means, let me just think, theoretically, that must mean like what? 190, 200 top speed, let's say. Front end might be a little bit heavy. But putting the boys in the back there, balance it out, should be fine. It'll do it. It'll take it. It always does.
Another thank you to a listener, Tom Elliott Mell, who sent us the poster for the 1988 film License to Drive, starring Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. Are you familiar with this film?
Yes. Oh, God, I haven't seen it for ages, but I remember all of the Coreys were in it.
Yes, all of the Coreys, all of Hollywood's 80s Coreys were in that film. Do you know who the female lead was?
Oh, Jennifer. No, I keep thinking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off because it was around about that time.
Oh, yeah. No, Heather Graham.
Oh, gosh, Heather Graham.
So Tom sent us the poster for License to Drive, which I've never seen. It's an incredibly 80s poster, as you'd expect, not least because one of the Coreys is wearing Wayfarers, classic 80s move.
Yes.
So it's got the two Coreys are sort of close to the camera, sort of peering in from either side of the frame.
Yes.
Between them, palm trees stretch away down a street. Classic sort of California styly with an incredible gradient sky that starts sort of sunset yellow and then moves through orange and into sort of bluey purple. It's a magnificent thing.
Oh, so it's like a Commodore 64 loading screen, basically. Yeah,
very much so, yes. And then yes. There is a Ferrari 308 head-on with the young Heather Graham standing in front of it.
Oh, gosh.
But one of the Corys has got a car key dangling from his outstretched finger. And you can sort of see it's got some kind of Ferrari keyring on it. But then, and this is the reason that Tom sent it to us, if you look closely, the actual key itself, it's an old school, just plain metal key, has what is almost certainly the British Leyland logo stamped into it.
You're joking.
I am not joking. And this is why Tom sent it to us, because he said, I thought I'd better share it since there's likely no one else who would care. And he's right. But I cannot get my head around this. The poster is so sort of cheesily 80s that it almost looks kind of like something that AI would come up with now. If you went, hey, AI, could you create the most 80s movie poster possible?
Yeah.
That if AI is as good as it's supposed to be, we'd immediately go, well, naturally, that would have two Corys in it and a young Heather Graham and a Ferrari 308 and a very gradient sky.
Double Cory. Yeah.
So that would explain why. That's where AI has slipped up, because it's gone, oh, I need a generic car key, and it's just found one in its brain for a mariner or something.
But this is amazing.
So I can't figure this out. I just don't know why has it got a British Leyland logo on a Ferrari key, or supposedly a Ferrari key, on this movie poster. By the way, License to Drive is also written in incredible typeface. Just it's a big swirly sort of handwritten license, and then Drive is in a big blocky caps, Chrome. Very italic, with sort of like track marks coming off it, like to give a sense of speed.
Oh gosh, this is amazing. Listen, we have got the answers to so many things through you, the listeners. Does anybody know anybody that worked on License to Drive, either as a film crew, director, illustrator, runner?
Who was the director?
Promoter? Let's deep dive this. Because why did they not use the Ferrari key? Because maybe the Ferrari key didn't look right in the photo, or they lost it, and because the car was only rented for the film and then it had to go back.
Yes.
There'll be a story.
My theory here is that the designer of the poster, it's hard to tell, it's sort of composite photo, but how much of it might be drawn in or airbrushed in, because certainly one of the Corys that's holding up the key, his hand looks very artificial. So I think this has all been drawn in, and I wonder if the artist who drew it just needed something for inspiration, looked down at their desk, and they happen to have an old MGB or something, like a BL era car that was sold in the US, and that had that key. So they just drew it without thinking that the logo
is off another car.
Yeah, it's off another car. Because otherwise, I'm stumped. Why would you do this? I've just looked this up. The movie was directed by Greg Beeman.
Greg Beeman?
He directed the one on the Wonder Years.
I love the Wonder Years. That was so good.
Some stuff, and he's done a lot of telly things and blah blah. Yes, good. Okay.
This is great. Yeah. What? It could be also because I do have a few original movie posters. Of course, they did different posters for different territories. So was this a UK cinema poster only? Does it differ from the American cinema poster?
Well, we need to know this. Wikipedia has the same poster with the offending key on it, but a bit more. It's got the two main stars' names at the top, and in between their heads, it says, some guys get all the breaks, but they've spelt breaks as in B-R-A-K-E-S.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds to me like that's something I could get on board with, putting spelling.
A sudden urge to watch this film, even though that I feel like it might be a waste of 90 minutes of my time. But
Actually, I was going to end this podcast by talking about a waste of time. Because
this podcast.
No, this is a tragic waste of time. But I watched the revised Roadhouse this week. And it's time I'm not going to get back. So I wouldn't recommend it. Jake Gyllenhaal, amazing gym fit body. But see, they've spent all the money on Conor McGregor and they spent all the money on Post Malone and none of the money on decent CGI that's believable and quite bad, cheap music, I think. And Roadhouse, the original, the Swayze original, it was quite, the music was quite pivotal. So I was so outraged with how average it was, I had to watch the original again. And
oh, good.
Yes, it was cheesy in places.
Like a palate cleanser.
Yes, yeah. It was. It was a 1989 film. But I have to say, it's still such a good film. So if anyone's thinking of watching the new Roadhouse, just go on Amazon Prime. They're not paying me to say this. And don't watch the new one. Watch the old one because it's free. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy the Merck SEC. Enjoy the Buick Riviera that just keeps getting systematically vandalised by drunk people, and which I do feel sorry for it, poor thing. Sweet, sweet car. Enjoy the Jeep Wrangler that the love interest Lady Doctor cruises around in. Enjoy the monster truck from the sort of raging henchman drives with the lovely cheeky little earring and the mullet. There's so much going on in this film. Yes, it's lightweight cheese, but by Jove, it's good. And by Jove, I miss Swayze.
Thanks for that. Well, we've done car reviews and television reviews in this show. It's almost dangerous to like giving out information here, but we won't let it happen again. So let's bring this to a close. Before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Lacey Face Show, in which he spends a fortune on prosthetics and wigs in order to look more like Tyne Daly's character from the popular female cop duo show. This week, he's at an 80s TV fan convention when his elaborate new hairpiece snags on the leather jacket of a David Hasselhoff lookalike. If that's not to your taste, there's always the Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there. Enjoy the 2CV ice racing.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Haven't watched the G-Wagen yet. Sorry, I've been...
If you watch my Piston G-Wagon first look video, just look how many comments mention a 944 cargo. I can't believe
really?
It. Oh, there's dozens, 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 you bad people. Thank you all the same. Well, by the time you listen to this cast, presumably I've survived the Lens End trial off of the Kia Picanto. That's not going to be in a video yet. That video will come out in a few weeks or so. It's a barn find, and I'm going to spoiler alert it. It's a Nissan Primera GT.
Ooh.
A BTCC hero of a vehicle.
Crikey.
And I've managed to get a couple of little video testimonials from David Tuig, who listens to this. Who worked on the original Primera GT.
Yeah.
And is a contributor to The Intercooler, another podcast that we are friends with, hence why I was a guest on it a few weeks back. Yes, thank you, boys. So thanks for that, David. And also, none other than Matt Neal, one of the most successful touring car drivers of all time.
Brilliant.
Who made his name off of the driver's seat, off of the Primera GT, off of the 90s and all that.
I'm going to add David Tuig to our guest waiver list, but only because I want him to come on and talk us through the number plate finisher on the rear of the original Qashqai, which, of course, he was project leader on. I want to talk through why do they always fail?
They do fail.
Is there a factory spec for the black gaff that most people use to reattach them? That's all I want to talk to David about. Right. Well, a second thing I've got to tell you is that I have various books out. How to Be a Motoring Journalist by Roy Lanchester. Why not go and buy that?
That's a good book.
It's a sort of spoof autobiography of the made-up booze hound car journalist Roy Lanchester. It's been out for a while now, but it's still available as an ebook or a paperback from Amazon. And the third thing I have to tell you is, do you know Like a Prayer by Madonna?
Yes, it's a great song.
Now, think of the original version. The way that it starts is with that big bit of electric guitar.
Yeah, and then it goes into a big thump of a drum, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that strange and sort of not related to the rest of the song bit of guitar was played by Prince.
Was it?
Yes, but he's not on the rest of the track.
Was it just on the start of the tape and he'd been in the studio the day before and someone just left it on the tape?
I think the story is that when she was working on that album, which is also called Like a Prayer, Prince came in and just sort of laid down some guitar over some of the backing tracks, just did a load of jamming, basically, just in case there was anything they wanted to use.
Oh.
And when it came to Like a Prayer, there was nothing they particularly wanted to take for the rest of the track, but they thought that, just that random moment at the start worked quite well, so they used it.
I think it should have been called Just Like a Prayer and all that. I think it would have been a much better name. That's what I'm going to say. So,
Just Like a Prayer on that side of things.
I think it would have made a much better name. It would have the album would have looked better visually, Just Like a Prayer and all that. I just think it would have been...
I could see that. Right, well, that's it for this. We'll play out again with our new end music. Thank you to one of our patrons, David Cars. Cars, C-A-R with two S's, Cars. He says, I can't get rid of an image from the new outro music. It conjures an 80s-style fundraising music video with the nation's no-name full-suspension mountain bike men in choral formation behind Smith & Sniff at a grand piano, raising enough money for a large bag of cans for the nation's injured no-name full-suspension mountain bike guys. It's a haunting image, David. Thank you for that. This is a slightly different version we're going to play out with, because a listener called Steve Kellett said, what your song needs is more guitar at the end. And so he's played some guitar over the ending in a cheesy 80s style. So we'll play out with Steve's version this week. Thank you ever so much for listening. We'll do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Thanks, guys. Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
So you've enjoyed this podcast, but you've had a thought. Is there a way here today that you could show support? Well, you could join our Patreon. What wonders that it brings. Early shows and extra notes on that side of things. You could buy our merchandise with mugs and hats, but still no ties. One day we will make those pies, but in the meantime, guys, hey guys, like and subscribe, and maybe leave a nice review. Like and subscribe, we know you know just what to do. Like and subscribe, we don't want to take the piss. Like and subscribe, but we were told to ask for this. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Dante Ditchfinder, personally, I'd let you go, but Dante is very uncompromising.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.